This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
And a pleasant good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Sports Talk. Mike Haas filling in for Steve Geller, along with Saints sideline reporter Jeff Nowak. Charlie Long is in the booth, and we are looking forward to 3 hours of just kind of settling in for the weekend. It's Labor Day weekend. Some people are off on Monday. Not everybody will be off on Monday, but college football, high school jamborees tonight. I mean, it doesn't feel like football out there, but this is, I mean, we had a lot of games last night. So this is when it really begins.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, like, I keep reminding myself, oh, yeah, LSU plays tomorrow. LSU plays tomorrow. It's like, it just creeps up on you. And then all of a sudden, it's all, you know, it does not slow down. My wife was like, I'll see you next year. You know, all of the weekends are gone again. You know, we're that time of year.
Yeah. No, it's, I believe in transparency. You know, I'm the Saints play-by-play, Jeff's Saints sideline. That's a lot of our focus,
yeah.
Right? I mean, it just is, right? And I was like, oh, hosting Friday, that's probably going to be some college football. Oh, I better get on that. But it's exciting. It is. I mean, I look forward to Tulane's 11 o'clock tomorrow against Northwestern. LSU's at night. You got Texas.
Tulane is a 5.5-point favorite against Northwestern. That's big for them.
I just think Northwestern had such a rough kind of year, and you wonder, to me, can Tulane kind of pick up where they were with a new quarterback who
Tulane's not a 5.5-point favorite against Big Ten schools very often, let's put it that way.
That's probably true. They don't play a ton, right?
Yeah, they've played enough.
But don't you feel, like, do you feel it's offline?
No, I'm just saying, like, that's telling of where people view Tulane right now.
Yeah,
and
I agree.
I mean, John Summerall, like, it was easy to look at that program and say, oh, they might just fall off a cliff when, you know, Fritz left. But, hey, you know, like, John Summerall comes in. They had a good year. They had some frustrating moments. They lost their quarterback, you know? And so just to be getting that level of respect at this point in the season, you know, I think that's telling of what they've built over the last 5-6 years.
Right? I agree. Totally.
When I moved down here in 2015, right, Tulane was not a conversation topic on the college football stage. Like, obviously, Tulane has all this history, but they've kind of been forgotten about and, you know, kind of left to rot in the American Athletic Conference. And it's just cool to kind of see a program build itself up the way they have.
No, I agree. And last year was so hard because they started off well. I mean, first off, you play Oklahoma early, you play Kansas early. And, you know, it's tough. You start off 1-3, then they win four straight, and then they just finish so poorly. I mean, it's a team that, and we're going to talk, I should just do that off the top. In our next segment, we're going to talk with Maddie Hudak. She's the Tulane football sideline reporter, as you know, as well as a scouting alum. So we're going to talk to her at 5:20. We're going to talk to Zach Nagy, publisher of LSU Tigers on Sports Illustrated, at Zach Nagy 20. And at 6:20, we'll talk with Don Munson, voice of Clemson football. So we'll have all of that coming your way, where this is just really the appetizer to get you going. But I agree. I mean, they finished so poorly, a team that averaged 35 points, and in their final three, what did they score, 8, 14? I mean, it was brutal.
They got kind of boat raced by Army there in the bowl game, or the championship game.
34-24, 35-14, and then, you know, lost in the Gasparilla Bowl 33-8. So, but still, all that considered, average 35. So you put up some points prior to that. So I'm, you know, 11 a.m., I'm looking forward to it. And then you have a big break, and then LSU tomorrow evening at Clemson, trying to end what is a weird streak to me.
5 years without
Yes.
That doesn't happen. You know, what's the last opener they won? Was it 2019? Yeah, they haven't won an opener since the championship year.
Yeah.
Like they have not won an opener game since the COVID pandemic.
But they haven't been bad games, most of them.
Some of them were. Mississippi State was a bad game.
The Florida State in the Dome.
The second Florida State one was bad.
The second Florida State. Well,
the one in Florida, yeah.
Yeah, the one of the Superdome was crazy.
Yeah, well, like, it ended on the missed or the blocked PAT that I think if Brian Kelly had to do it again, he would have never kicked.
Right.
Because later in that year, they ended up in a very similar situation. They went for two against Alabama to win, and he probably wishes he had that one back. But I do, you know, I appreciate it because you say Clemson correctly, and I think we could take a moment for people to remember there's a P in Clemson. You don't see it. You don't spell it that way, but you'll get it right if you just spell it C-L-E-M-P-S-I-N, Clemson. It's correct. That is the correct way to pronounce it. A lot of people want to put a Z in there. They want to say Clemson. No, not like crimson. Clemson. Clemson. Ask Brian Brzee. He'll get it right.
Tell him. You. Where did you work prior to here?
I lived in Myrtle Beach for 4 years.
So you did some South
talked
Carolina.
A good bit about Clemson there. It's the way you say it. That is the definitive way you say it.
I'm with you. As soon as you said it, I went, well, God, what have I been saying?
I didn't know
there was another way to say it.
I have to correct Steve all the time.
I didn't know there was another way to say it.
Yeah, there's a P in there. Most people don't know that.
So Dabo Swinney, and yeah, it is. It's the LSU-Florida State game, the one at the Dome. I went back because I was shooting video up in
the
stands.
First game for Jaden Daniels.
Yep, shooting video up in the stands. It was just the final 2 minutes probably took 30 minutes. Yep. The referees were on the field, off the field, on, stop, go talk to this coach. It was insanity.
I want to say Malik Nabers fumbled like multiple punts in that game. Was that Malik Nabers? Am I making that up?
I don't know.
I can't remember who was returning punts. I think it might have been Nabers.
This was before our at the start of the renovation. We were kind of in it. So it was, and I think I can say this. This was professional drinking on a new level that I had seen between these two schools in the Superdome. You couldn't move in the concourses. And it was like, you see, this is what we're doing. The new renovation, wider concourses, that game was just crazy. So we'll talk about LSU and Clemson and Tulane as well, Texas and Ohio State. The Micah Parsons deal. What was the numbers on Parsons? You said.
Oh, I don't have it in front of me, but he had $120 million guaranteed. Let's see. Actually, I do think I have it in front of me. Yeah, $44 million signing bonus, $62 million guaranteed through the first year, $100 million through two, $141 million through three. So yeah, it's like a $220 million contract. He's the highest paid non quarterback, and he's pretty close to being the highest paid quarterback.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's that.
I think it's $47 million a year.
As we were talking about, that's the cost to win the battle, right? That was going to be the cost.
Well, once you trade for him, I mean, it's 5 years, $210 million. Once you make that trade, you don't have much leverage in a negotiation. You're paying the guy. It's just a matter of what his asks are.
You're right. Want to shout out to Magazine Pizza for feeding our Saints game day crew. Magazine Pizza, 1068 Magazine. Dine in or delivery. The best gourmet pizza selection in town. Magazine Pizza also has pastas, sandwiches, wings, and salads. MagazinePizza.com. We will talk about Tulane and their battle with Northwestern coming up next with Matty Hudak. Keep it right here on Sports Talk, WWLAMFM.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Welcome back to Sports Talk. Mike Haas along with Jeff Nowak getting ready to talk some Tulane football against Northwestern. And Jeff said, they haven't played, you know, too often. A lot of Big Ten teams. The last time they played Northwestern, October 6th, 1956. The first time they played them?
Wow.
1925. 18-7, Tulane won. Pre-Depression, Calvin Coolidge.
Man, that was
your 30th president at the time.
It was like an offensive showdown.
Yeah, 18-7.
Yeah.
So tomorrow at 11 a.m. at Yulman Stadium, it'll be Tulane against Northwestern. Joining us now is Tulane's sideline reporter as well as a Scouting Academy alum, Matty Hudak. Hey, Matty, how you doing, girl?
I'm doing well. I haven't heard stats about Calvin Coolidge since Tulane won the conference championship 2 years ago.
I know you were like, oh, God, he's not going to toss it to me with anything about Calvin Coolidge.
You can always trust Haas to come in with the Calvin Coolidge stats.
That's right. You never know. You know, when you get to be my age. All right. So here's the question. It is 4:28 on Friday, August 29th. Do we have a quarterback yet for Tulane tomorrow against Northwestern?
I don't know if it's really been officially announced, but as Summerall said last week, you can kind of read off of who is taking the majority of the one reps last week, and that was Jake Retzloff.
Yeah, makes sense, right? BYU, you know, great proven arm, almost 3,000 yards, but you wonder if Brendan Sullivan gets in a little bit, right? I mean, maybe just a little?
Yeah, so I believe he's going to be available. We did see him a little bit in practice this week. I think it's just kind of a question of, you know, not trying to rush that back, but it wouldn't surprise me if we saw, you know, some package or two, especially if he's able to use his legs. Yeah, it's just an incredible asset that he has.
Yeah, I guess I should say Brendan Sullivan is from Northwestern. You know, 1287, the Tulane hard in the transfer portal after losing Darian Mensah. So we'll see.
Yeah, Maddie, I mean, 5.5-point favorites against Northwestern. You know, Haas and I were talking about when we came on, you know, it's interesting to watch this Tulane program, and I don't know what the expectations were with Summerall coming in, but you know, he kind of hit the ground running. Obviously, there were some fits and starts last year, but, you know, that's a line you see to open a season about a team that has some expectations, right? Has some national clout behind it. You know, what are your kind of top end expectations? What do you want to see this team achieve this year? And what would kind of be the next step for Summerall as he kind of builds this thing?
Yeah, so I think the expectations kind of match just with the, you look at the caliber of transfers that they were able to get this season versus last year, where, yeah, John Summerall was an up-and-coming coach with the Troy Trojans. He had a foothold in Louisiana from being the defensive coordinator back in 2013 at Tulane. But I think the second year is really where you're starting to see that take off, where the potential of this team before that kind of downward slide at the end of the season was clearly there, and a lot of that has to do with Coach Summerall. I think you've seen that both on the recruiting trail and in the transfer portal, where you, A, have several freshmen, several from local Louisiana high schools that are credibly going to be able to play this year. But the quarterback room, you know, last year it was Darian Mensah kind of came out of nowhere already on the roster. This year you had three starting quarterbacks who had played a season of football at the FBS level all come to compete here. And two of those are at the Power Four level. Then you look at the defensive line and all the proven transfer players they were able to get there. So I think that's where you see a lot of the expectations. You want to see them all put it together tomorrow on the field. But, you know, huge credit to Summerall and what he's done in these 2 years.
Tough start last year. I meant Kansas State. That was week two. You know, you play Kansas State very close, you know, 34-27. Then you got to play Oklahoma. So you're 1-2 start, but then you went to 8 straight. And I got to believe the way this team finished stings to this team. Like, they remember how they finished last year. And maybe not the bowl game, because bowl games are different, but just kind of Memphis, Army, Florida, you know, finish. Feels like they got something to prove.
Yeah, I think, you know, you kind of, there's only so many players left from that team to be able to feel that way. But I think a lot of the identity of these guys that have come over in the transfer portal, the quarterback room, Maurice Turner, kind of having a chip on their shoulder. You know, Maurice Turner hasn't played since, I believe, September or something of last year. He got hurt and was out for the entire season. And so a lot of these guys that are stepping into these roles here have that chip on their shoulder, have kind of a lot to prove to show that there has been that much turnover, but it doesn't really matter. But the last couple of years for Tulane have kind of ended in misery outside of the Cotton Bowl. And so the guys that are left from that, I think, really want to, A, start strong, but have that strong start to know that you're going to be able to see the finish line and finish in a different way.
Yeah, you know, so for those of us who aren't as familiar with Retzlaff, what's kind of your scouting report, assuming he is the starting quarterback tomorrow?
Yeah, so he can make every throw. His touch is there. He also has the ability to use his legs. He's comfortable with it, and I think you'll see that really be an asset and just a huge difference maker from what the quarterback situation was last year. Darian Mensah still kind of getting his feet wet as a quarterback. You don't have that in Retzlaff, and that's really impressive to say when, I mean, legitimately, he got onto campus a week before the season started. It's a completely different system. They use that kind of snap cadence count at BYU. It's all verbal here at Tulane. So to be able to learn the entire system, and when there was an opportunity with Brendan Sullivan going down, to be able to step in and really lead the way like that, I think the intangibles and the leadership really stick out with him as well. But he's really just a well-rounded quarterback that, quite honestly, Tulane shouldn't have ended up with when they did. It's a really weird situation in college football, and I really think it changes Tulane's situation this year.
Do you think, even though there's a lot of new players, that it's still kind of foundationally a team that wants to go out? They averaged 35 last year. I think defensively gave up 20. I mean, you know, that they want to be that kind of offense, irrespective that it's the new players, the style of offense that they play, that go out and just push it up and down the field.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting this game especially, and it really depends on the weather tomorrow, where, you know, if it's a rainy game, we could see a totally different game plan. But the idea with this weather advantage here is you almost kind of want to catch Northwestern off guard. They're going to want to shorten the game and run the ball a lot. So, yeah, that's going to be Tulane's bread and butter. But at least to start, you might see a little more tempo and just a little bit trying to catch them on their heels before I believe they are going to really settle into what we know their identity is, which is, you know, setting up the pass by running the ball quite a bit. And they don't have Mekhi Hughes this year, but they have Maurice Turner and a really strong room behind him. I think the depth there is really night and day from last year.
Yeah, I mean, you talk about the depth. I'm curious, you know, are there a couple names you can throw out that, you know, people might not be have on their radar right now that by the end of the season, especially on offense, we'll be talking about a lot?
Yeah, I think the two transfers from FAU are two to watch. The running back, Zuberi Mobley, he'll probably back up Maurice Turner. Omari Hayes, he's a shifty wide receiver and a really good punt returner for FAU last year. So you'll see him doing that as well as Maurice Turner on kickoff returns. The tight end room is interesting. I think Justin Reed as a pass catcher is going to be one to watch. True freshman Javen Gordon at running back, it might be someone you see a little bit of. And I think a name everyone's excited about and knows about on offense, Shaz Preston. I think he's really set up to have a good year this year. And you've just seen him have that chemistry with these quarterbacks. There's just a little bit of unprovenness, I think, at the wide receiver position, but there's a lot of potential, including, you know what, again, a true freshman, Oliver Mitchell out there, Zy Carl Lewis. There is quite a bit of names that you might not know a lot about, but would keep on your radar tomorrow for sure.
It's early, right? Beginning of the season, but this is a pretty, you know, big statement game, only because when you kind of look, they play South Alabama next week two, and then you get Darian Mensah and his return, Duke week three, and then you go to Oxford week four. So, I mean, you got in your first four games, Northwestern, Duke with your returning quarterback, and then in Oxford against Ole Miss, man, this is a great way to start.
Yeah, it really is. There's two sides of the coin there where I think, you know, if you're afraid of competition, if you're afraid of, you know, playing with the best in this out-of-conference schedule is extremely daunting. But you look at the way Tulane played Kansas State last year and you wonder if they were able to pull that win off, what the season would have looked like, what the perception of them would have looked like. And I think there's also an opportunity, you know, not to get too ahead of themselves, but having the college football playoff favorite for that G5 spot in Boise State kind of, you know, not do well in their opening game and lose to an AAC opponent. Tulane's not going to play them this year unless they make it to the AAC championship together. But I think that really kind of opens a lane for this team to go out there and show what they can do against some really credible opponents.
Yeah, you know, I feel like Tulane is in a kind of unique situation because you talk about LSU and, you know, the college football playoff, and, you know, it always felt like they had a chance to get in there. With Tulane and some of these smaller programs, that was always kind of punching up, and you never really could tell, oh, how good is this team really relative to some of these other conferences? With the expanded format, it's got to feel like, hey, it's like, hey, you know, a different world almost. Of if we take care of our business in conference, we can be in that college football playoff. And it doesn't really matter whether people take us seriously or not, because if you get in that bracket, you're there. Just as a smaller program, it's got to be a game changer when you can sell that, especially on the recruiting trail and the transfer portal. Whereas, you know, in the past, it's been like, well, if you want a chance at the college football playoff, you got to go to one of these big schools. It's not really the case anymore.
Oh, 100%. I think, too, when you're kind of asking before what the effect is in this second season, I think, you know, Summerall got out there in his intro press conference and said this team's going to go to the college football playoffs. Yeah, again, maybe if they beat Kansas State last year, but they were also in the conversation after shutting out Navy the way they did at the end of the season last year. So it goes to show that they're really in play for that spot. And for a lot of these guys, you might be getting some Power 4 offers. There's the question of playing time, and then there is the question of, is there actually a better path to the college football playoff here at Tulane? And so that's where I think you're no longer seeing them have to go and pick up these undersized guys to kind of, you know, punch above their weight class. They're really able to recruit the type of guy and the type of player, both, you know, in character and in on the field, that they want to recruit and be able to actually sell them a credible story in that.
I don't know. I've interviewed him, but I don't know him, John Summerall. So, I mean, you just look at the transfer portal, right? And you look at, believe me, we talk about NFL players during this past training camp who had some tie to him. Troy followed him to Tulane, whatever it is. I mean, he must have that special, you know, ingredient from a transfer portal to just guys willing to walk through walls for him. I mean, tell me about him.
Yeah, he really does. He's one of the best motivators I've seen, and just in terms of knowing what makes guys tick. And his recruiting relationship, you know, Retzloff is another guy where he recruited him to Troy, was the only FBS offer he had for a while until BYU came out of nowhere. That relationship really played a strong role in why Tulane has him on their team right now. And I just, you know, he said before his best and worst trait might be his brutal honesty. I think without question, that's his best trait. I think it's in today's college football with NIL and, you know, trying to get guys in the transfer portal, you're hearing a lot of messy snake oil salesman type stuff. And I think, you know, Summerall is just firmly the opposite in that. And some guys might not want, you know, they might want to be promised something. But I think when you're looking for the type of player that Summerall wants to recruit, when he has that brutally honest conversation and they're about that, I think you recruit the right type of guys that want to be there and all really buy into this culture. But I think it starts with him. Really, you know, when he says the best players will make it on the field, it doesn't matter what your NIL deal is, what you were, you know, at your last program, it matters what you do here. And you saw that in the quarterback competition and the decisions they made last year. He has a pretty good resume for, you know, showing that.
You know, Maddie, I always get a kick out of it when I'm watching the Tulane game on TV and, like, it goes to half and I can see you, like, chasing down the head coach on the sideline with a microphone. And, you know, I can always tell, you know, that you just genuinely enjoy being out there, and I appreciate it. Because it's a fun thing to be a sideline reporter. I do it for the Saints, and, you know, there's the energy of the game that you just can only get down there on the sideline with the speed and the impact, even. It's just like, it's like being near a car crash. How excited are you to get back out there tomorrow?
I totally agree. That was such kind of an unexpected surprise. It was just the complete adrenaline rush right. That the sideline brings. And again, to your point, I don't think I appreciated things like, you know, when I saw Tajay Spears that far away, what he's really able to do, how really hard it is at the line of scrimmage and just the sound of everything. It is super exciting. And I think, again, you know, having this opening day be against the opponent it is and have really a lot of excitement and expectations here for this Tulane team, I am very excited to take the field, really, no matter what the blistering weather is going to be.
Yeah, it's supposed to rain, be warm and rainy. So, three things. First off, I think you were being enormously kind to Boise State, who got drilled by South Florida 34-7. And you do have your rain suit, right, already?
Yeah, from the military bowl. I have my garb still.
There you go. And 11 o'clock, man, I'm not a huge fan. It's tough, you know, 11 a.m. But feel free, you know, if you need to use the Calvin Coolidge stuff tomorrow, it's yours. It's all yours.
Perfect. I'll be looking for that to throw in the broadcast.
No, have a great call tomorrow, great day on the sidelines, and a great season. It's all setting up, but a really, really good start. Love to see him play these quality football teams early and get a win tomorrow. And, Ben, stay as dry as you can.
Absolutely. Looking forward to it. Roll wave. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Maddie.
Thanks, Maddie.
It's at Maddie Hudak _94. She's the Tulane sideline reporter. Also a alum of the Scouting Academy. We'll take a break. Come back here on Sports Talk. Mike Hoss, Jeff Nowak with you until 7 o'clock tonight here on WWLAMFM.com and always free on the Odyssey app. Welcome back to Sports Talk, and let's go right to that Oakland Heart Talk and text line. Gregory in Metairie is holding. Gregory, welcome to the show. You're on with Mike Hoss and Jeff Nowak. What you got for us?
Hey, so great to hear your voice on this show. I mean, and hey, Jeff, you do an excellent job.
Oh, thank you.
So excited about Tulane football. No, that's fine. So excited about Tulane football. Love Maddie. Season ticket holder. I'm an alumni, and just, I don't care. I don't care if it's an 11 o'clock game. I don't care if it's a midnight game. I go to Yulman Stadium. It's a beautiful place. Have you guys been there? Dude, that's what I'm trying to say. These locals need to go to Yulman Stadium and see Tulane football. That is New Orleans' original local team. That's our original home team. And I don't care if they win or lose. It's still fun. And Tulane's been good the last couple of years. Man, we almost beat Ole Miss the year before. And the second half, they got us. But, man, we were playing them well.
No, you're right. It was very close. Second half and turnovers, very costly. Now, you're right. Tulane football for locals used to be the thing. My brother-in-law, I was not born here, but they used to go to Tulane games every week. Now, you know, pretty big stadium. You could get pretty good seats. But you're right. It's a great atmosphere. I'm with you.
My very first football game was at Tulane Stadium. I was 5 years old. That's 1966, the year before the Saints came on board. And then, thank God for my dad. God bless him. You know, he's in heaven. He was a season ticket holder for the Saints. My grandfather went to Tulane. My father went to Tulane. And I went to Tulane on a scholarship to the Navy. I went to the ROTC program there. And thank God for Tulane. I spent 23 and a half years in the Navy because of Tulane, and I will always support Tulane. And more locals need to go to those games. They're fun, and that stadium is beautiful. And I just want to thank you and Maddie and Jeff Nowak for pointing that out.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. And it's fun to see them on, you know, I appreciate that they're getting more national attention these days because, you know, it's a program that's been building. Right, and it does seem to take a few years before people start to take you seriously, and especially now with the transfer portal being what it is, if you're not a competitive team year over year, like it's hard to draw that. Like people, like I think in the transfer portal, especially the NIL era, they're just like, okay, how much money am I going to make? Am I going to get attention? Am I going to be on TV? Like, and I just feel like there's a certain point where you reach that level for programs, and I think Tulane's there now, which is cool to see.
And Gregory. As we say goodbye, we appreciate your support and your service to the country. So thank you very much, and thanks for the phone call. Take a break. This is Sports Talk. Mike Hoss, Jeff Nowak back after this on WWL. Welcome back. Working our way towards news at 5 o'clock on this Friday, August 29th. Mike Hoss, Jeff Nowak, Charlie Long in the booth, and we're going to continue with Tulane because, Charlie, you hear John Sumrall. You know, Tuesdays.
Oh, yeah.
You know. Tulane Tuesdays, he calls. He's probably a very genuine, nice person, guy on the phone, right? Calls early. Probably you chat a little bit.
He's authentic, man.
Yeah.
I love Coach Sumrall. Listen, you know, watching, because I'm a UL grad, so I follow the Sun Belt pretty tightly.
What Don't he sleep did on the Troy, Sun Belt, baby.
No, I mean, Hoss, you and I are on the same wavelength there. We both saw what he did at Troy in the 2 years that he was there. And then he comes to Tulane and instantly has awesome success in his first year. You know, the program that Coach Fritz had built there, after Fritz moves on to Houston, Sumrall was just the easy hire, like the easy answer for them there. Now, when we talked with Coach Sumrall throughout the offseason this year, he's talked about all the new pieces that he's had to replace from last year's team. But another thing that was interesting when Mike and I were interviewing him, I think it was this past week, we talked about the non-conference slate and something that you had brought up with Maddie. They host Northwestern, a Big Ten opponent. They travel to South Alabama, a Sun Belt opponent that he's familiar with his experience at Troy. They host Duke, an ACC opponent, and then they go to Ole Miss, an SEC opponent, and a top 25 ranked opponent at that. Tulane's non-conference slate is really, really impressive for a Group of Five school. And if they can get out of it, I'm not even going to say necessarily unscathed, but if they can get out of that stretch like 3-1 and then get into their American Athletic Conference schedule and kind of roll through, they're going to be set up very, very well looking at the end of the season for that Group of Five spot in the 12-team college football playoff. One other thing I want to bring up here, guys, was I looked up the AAC preseason odds for the champion. Tulane is very slight favorites. You know, you see some conferences like the Big 12 where it's just a bunch of different teams that are all loaded as far as the preseason odds go. But Tulane is slight favorites to win the American Athletic Conference this year. They're right up there with Navy, South Florida, who, as you mentioned, had that really impressive win against Boise, UTSA, Memphis. But Tulane is number one, and we'll see if Coach Sumrall and the Green Wave can get it done.
Charlie, if you had to bet, if you had $100 to bet on one of these two teams making the college football playoff, who would it be, LSU or Tulane?
Ooh, that's a good
question. Because Tulane has an easier – they don't have to go through the SEC to get there.
Right.
Right?
And if you don't beat Clemson, your back's against right. the wall.
I would say ask me in 4 weeks.
No.
That's not the question.
Asking, no. You're, it's I mean, if it's they a go, fake $100,
Charlie. It's a good question. I would say Tulane.
I would say Tulane, too.
Yeah. I would say Tulane.
And it's not because they're better, necessarily. It's because I think they have an easier road, and that's just the benefit of being in a small conference with this expanded playoff.
First four games will tell us a lot. We'll talk a lot more about LSU and Clemson. Saints are off this weekend. Mike Hoss, Jeff Nowak, Charlie Long with you until 7 o'clock tonight. The news is next. Stay with us.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Welcome back to the 5 o'clock hour of Sports Talk. Mike Haas along with Saints sideline reporter Jeff Nowak. I'm filling in for Steve Geller tonight. I think Steve's watching a little high school football. His son plays at Rummel. They're playing at St. Paul's. A ton of jamborees tonight all over the place. The Saints, when we say they're off this weekend, they're off. They're physically away from the training camp, and then pretty much next week, normal week. Monday will be in. Tuesday's an off day, just like it would be. Then, you know, it's Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, into Arizona on Sunday, noon, and then San Francisco the following Sunday.
Yeah, there's two NFL rule changes over the past several years, dating back to like 2021, that I think are some of the best decisions they've made in a long time. One was allowing games to end in ties in the preseason.
Oh, I did not know. That was not where I thought you were going.
Well, that was one. And okay. The other was eliminating the fourth preseason game and giving everyone kind of a reset week. Because I think the players appreciate it. I think the coaches appreciate it. I appreciate it. Maybe the fans don't. Maybe the fans wanted a fourth preseason game. I think they'd just rather just get to the regular season. But that, because that fourth preseason game is rough. But I do appreciate that Kellen Moore did not drag his quarterback decision over this weekend, because I was starting to wonder. I figured Wednesday, when the week started, then suddenly we got it on Tuesday. It didn't seem like that was the initial plan, considering he wasn't originally even scheduled to speak on Tuesday. But he did name Spencer Rattler the quarterback. We talked about it a lot, but you know, it's bears repeating. Spencer Rattler is the starting quarterback for the Saints. I don't think it's a, hey, he's here, let's just go with it. I think he earned it. Right? Like, I think he came in consistent from the start and he stayed consistent. Like, he made good decisions. He operated the offense. The rookie quarterback, Tyler Shuck, came in a little slow. I think he started slow. He picked it up. He progressed really well. But I think that from the start, you had a guy that looked like the starter. And at the end, you had a guy that looked like the starter. And it's kind of going to be a question throughout the season. Now, Kellen Moore did say, hey, we're not going to be having this quarterback conversation
look over your shoulder
every week. And here, let's just hear what he said. Charlie, can you hit that?
Yeah, guys, I think that's the important thing, guys. We're not getting in this QB debate throughout the season. Spencer's our starting quarterback. Tyler's going to keep developing. You know, quarterbacks, you need a couple quarterbacks in seasons. These are long NFL seasons. And so, you know, I think we do value that we have depth there, and we'll have to navigate the rest of it as we go. But, yes, you know, we're really excited about Spence. He's going to do an awesome job for us.
Yeah, so what's your, you know, read on that? Like, I guess that in the sense of, hey, we're not picking like, oh, week six, that's when Tyler goes in. Like, that's not what they're going to be doing. They're not going to feed into the drama if Spencer throws a couple interceptions in one game. But I just, there will be a point this season where it's like, yes, that's going to be a conversation. Kellen's going to have to answer questions. You can't avoid it.
Right. It's always the situation. I mean, when you're your draft pick, I mean, look, Cleveland's going to face it, right? I mean, with Flacco, yeah. And Cleveland's going to face it. It just, and theirs feels almost like planned. All right, Joe, we're going to play 5-6 games, and here's what we're going to do, you know, and whether we go to Shador or not, probably not. But it's to me, it does put pressure on Spencer. I don't care if you say you're not looking over your shoulder. You don't want to go out and give up the picks. Do the things that might cost you the position. I feel like 100%. He did everything in OTAs all the way through training camp to better lead this offense, to better handle the blitz, to better handle the speed of the game. I think that Tyler Shuck throws a better ball, right? I think there's some things that he does better, but who, you know, it's not an easy beginning for this football team. You know, Arizona and San Francisco are not two teams that were sub 500. They were, but to me, they're way better than that. And it's at Seattle and at Buffalo.
Yeah, and I think for Spencer, you know, one thing you can look at last year, and I know a lot of people want to throw 0-6 and say, oh, we know who he is, he's 0-6, blah, blah, blah. I think that's a disingenuous argument to make. It's an intellectually dishonest argument to make. If your argument is he went 0-6, thus he does not deserve an opportunity again, despite feeling like he's been ahead this whole way. Right now, what you can do is look at what happened last year and say he didn't do this well enough. He didn't do this well enough. You know, he looked a little overwhelmed at times. He needs to improve here, 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 and here. And that's all fair game. The analysis is all fair game. But you can't look at that and say it was anything but an incomplete based on you saw. If you watched those games, you saw what he was dealing with and the players he was playing with and the offensive line he was working with and the playmakers, right? Like you can't.
Connor McGovern?
Right. Like, I mean, like you could look at every position on the team other than maybe tight end. And honestly, yes, tight end, because you lost Taysom Hill at a point during that season, week 14. And so, like, you could look at every position on that team and say, like, wow, this was rough. Like, this is not what you went into the season intending to have. And so what I'll say for that is that's not going to be the case this year. I get it. It's going to be a tough first 4 weeks. But you're going to get an answer. You're going to get a definitive answer on what he has to offer that you were not able to get last year. So that excuse will no longer be there. I think that excuse doesn't need to be there right now because everyone who watched that can understand what they saw. But by week four of this season, we're going to have a clear definition of what Spencer Rattler has to offer as a starting quarterback.
I agree. And I feel differently now than I might have felt at the beginning of camp, meaning we talked so much about like the running back situation and Kendra, who's going to be the number two, and Alvin wasn't playing. And then they end up with – they go get Trey Palmer and Devon Vele. And you're like, because quite frankly, to me, Spencer was at his best two times. Second half, Washington. First half, Tampa, on the road. Not the first time, the second time. Just move the ball steadily down the field. Now, he's still into tight ends, but big guys, just 5-6 yards. Take what they give you. Be smart. Man, it was you know, an awesome first half against Tampa that they could not – you know, duplicate. And he didn't play great in that Washington second half. Cedric Wilson had a time, but he played solid. And
he played well enough for you to go win a game if the people around him perform. And that's the thing. You never had a situation where the people around him could perform. I actually think if you go back and you watch that Raiders game, the defense is what let you down in that Raiders game. And then you had drops.
Abdullah with what? 200 and some?
Right. I actually thought if you wanted to look at and say what was Spencer Rattler's most complete game as a starter last year, it was the Raiders game. And it was not on him. It was drops. It was a penalty when he had the long pass to Juwan Johnson down at the goal line. Like there were his teammates were not picking him up. In the same way that I felt like, you know, Spencer's teammates actually helped him this preseason in a way that Tyler's teammates didn't. Like, I thought Tyler was let down by the drops, and that really hurt his chances to actually find a definitive moment to win that job. And so that's the thing. Spencer, you know, like, say what you want. Whether you believe that Kellen Moore's, we're not going to play this game. It's like, it doesn't matter. Go out there and play like a quarterback who deserves to get more games, and you'll keep starting until the answer is – it's not worth it anymore.
It's your job until it's not your job. Take a break, and we'll start talking about LSU and Clemson. Zach Nagy, publisher of LSU Tigers on Sports Illustrated. He will join us next here on Sports Talk. Mike Host, Jeff Nowak, and Charlie Long. Back after this. Welcome back to Sports Talk. Mike Host sitting in for Steve Geller this evening and Jeff Nowak, St. Sideline reporter Charlie Long in the booth. And we're talking LSU and Clemson tomorrow at 6:30. It's the Battle of the Tigers and the Battle of Death Valley. Zach Nagy, publisher of LSU Tigers on Sports Illustrated, joins us. Zach, welcome to the show.
Hey, man. How's it going?
We are good, man. Jeff and I are ready for some college football. Big weekend. Tulane at 11, LSU tomorrow. If you look at their schedule, they get at Alabama, you know, the ranked teams now, you know, 8, South Carolina, Florida, A&M, Ole Miss, and then to start off at Clemson, number 4, trying to end a 5-game season opening losing streak. That's not the place I would pick.
Yeah, no, you're right on the money. When you look at this schedule, it's certainly daunting. Once you get to the middle of it in that SEC play, that cream of the crop portion. But you start things off, top 5 opponent, obviously Clemson this weekend, Kate Klubnik, Dabo Swinney, et cetera. It set the stage for a primetime slate. Excited for it, man. Excited for it.
Yeah, you know, Cade Klubnik, Garrett Nussmeier, like, I'm curious, how do you view that matchup? Who do you think has the quarterback edge? Because it's going to be kind of fascinating to watch Nuss and how his draft stock even kind of fluctuates throughout the season. Because, I mean, like, this time a couple years ago, no one was really talking about Jaden Daniels as a Heisman candidate, as a top 3 draft pick, but that's what he ended up being. I feel like Nuss is kind of on everyone's radar in a way that Jaden never was. And I don't know, does that add more pressure? Is it, you know, he can go talk to his dad down the street coaching the Saints, I guess down I-10, I should say. Like, where do you kind of view that quarterback matchup?
Yeah, I think when you look at it, it's really 2 Heisman hopefuls. These are 2 guys that when you look at those preseason Heisman kind of betting odds, they're at the forefront of the conversation, specifically Nussmeier. This is a guy who has all of the tools to be a top 5, top 10 draft pick if he pieces everything together. He has all the weapons. He obviously has the experience now with 1 year under his belt. This is a player that has all the intangibles to be a true threat in 2025, and same goes for Cade Klubnik. This is a player who's a little bit more dynamic than Garrett. Obviously, he had over almost 500 rushing yards last year. That kind of escapability is what makes him such a lethal threat with the ball in his hands. So the 2 guys are extremely talented. Garrett has that touch. He has the arm strength, can put the ball wherever he wants. That's what Cade Klubnik is still advancing in. But on the other side, Klubnik has the ability to really extend the play. And that's what we haven't seen from Garrett Nussmeier quite yet. So you can compare and contrast both of them pretty tediously. But at the end of the day, these are 2 extremely talented quarterbacks that are obviously whoever plays the best, that's the one that's going to get the win. These 2 quarterbacks are sensational. It's going to come down to who plays better this weekend.
Unfortunately for me, the image I have stuck in my head from LSU last year is Jalen Milroe and the 4 touchdowns, 185 yards in Tiger Stadium. So they go out, you know, working to rebuild the LSU defense, Blake Baker, huge transfer portal class, not surprisingly. But can they stop the quarterback run? Can they stop the run in general? I mean, you know, because if you can't do that, man, nothing else matters a whole lot.
Yeah, I think you're right on the money. And you can talk about, of course, you can talk about Jalen Milroe, Marcel Reed, Lenoris Sellers. You go down that entire schedule, and LSU struggled with mobile quarterbacks. Those guys that can kind of extend the play and do it all with their legs. LSU struggled in the biggest way last year. And from a personnel perspective, they wanted to be aggressive but didn't have the personnel to be aggressive. Fast forward to the transfer portal, and you go out and get guys like Jack Pyburn from Florida, Patrick Payton from Florida State, Bernard Gooden from South Florida. You got guys that can now get in the backfield, slow down the run, and keep tabs on these mobile running back or these mobile quarterbacks. So for me, they went out and upgraded from a personnel perspective. Blake Baker has showcased the ability to be aggressive. Now it's about utilizing the players that he has on this roster to do just that. Cade Klubnik's a guy that can really escape, get out the pocket. It's about keeping him in check. You have a healthy Harold Perkins in your back pocket now. And I don't think enough people are really talking about what he provides this defense. I know that when you look at the numbers, they haven't been as flashy as they were that true freshman campaign, but he's bounced back from this torn ACL. Has looked the part during camp, looks like a complete player. You have him spying Cade Klubnik to keep him in check. I think it puts your defense in a really good spot to be effective.
No, I agree with you. I think people are sleeping on Harold Perkins. Like, just I think he kind of fell off the radar with the injury, but it's like this is a guy we were talking about as a top five pick a couple of years ago. Like, he was legit getting that hype, and I think he's going to remind people this year why that is. But my question, you know, it's kind of a broader question. Obviously, it's not the end of the world if LSU doesn't win tomorrow with the expanded college football playoff. You can go 0-1 and easily still make it in. It's not even a conference game. But it does kind of feel indicative that 0-3 record in opening games, and they're not exactly taking the easy way out by scheduling a cupcake game, which they definitely could if they just wanted to end that skid. But, you know, as far as Brian Kelly is concerned, what is your frustration level in terms of, or what do you kind of view the frustration level as in terms of, you know, with that expanded playoff, LSU fans are going to expect to be in that every year. And you can only go so far not getting into the dance before, you know, people are going to be calling for heads, right? Like, that's kind of the give and take of that expanded format. When it was only four, you can be like, oh, we had a great season. We didn't get in there. Maybe next year. It's like with 12, it's like if you're LSU and you're not in there, every season is a failure. So I guess how long does that get to run out? Is this kind of a do or die season, or do you let this thing keep running and let him build the program? Because, you know, it's easy to lose perspective on that. It's only been 3 years. You know, you do have to give a guy time to build, but Tigers fans aren't exactly patient in that regard. So where do you see that?
Yeah, man, I think when you look at it, LSU hasn't won a season opening game since 2019. It's been 5 years. They haven't gotten over the hump in that regard. Three of them under Brian Kelly's watch. And now you enter the 2025 season with an $18 million roster, right? You go out, you attack the transfer portal, you bring in a ton of defensive weapons, like you just alluded to a second ago, to really up the personnel for this team. You bring back Garrett Nussmeier, a ton of receiving threats, and you even go out and add a couple as well through the portal to really boost that spot as well. So for me, when I look at LSU this season, it's definitely a college football playoff or bust season. You got to get over that hump. That's the expectation in Baton Rouge. When you have the talent level that you have, you bring back Blake Baker, Joe Sloan at the coordinator spots on the staff. You upgrade a lot of off-field positions to really get this thing going from a front office perspective. You're aligned. And that's the word that Brian Kelly's talked about since the first day he stepped on campus at LSU, is making sure that the alignment is correct in order to get this thing steered in the right direction. They've done that so far. From a roster construction perspective, it looks the part. Your off-field staff, your on-field staff, everything looks the part. Now you got to go and make it happen. And it starts with week one at Clemson in order to try to get over that first hump of winning a week one game and then see where it takes you. Try to continue to coast and really make it happen come SEC play. But, man, it's a college football playoff or bust season for me, that's for sure.
And they wasted no time, the Tigers, last year, as soon as the season ended. I remember Deuce and I were still doing Saints Friday shows, and they had picked up Nick Anderson, Barry and Brown. I mean, they knew what they needed from a wide receiver standpoint, and they went hard early in that room.
Yeah, I think it's an understatement, man. They went nuclear in that spot. You know, you go out and get Barry and Brown, a true speedster from Kentucky, a guy who's a really solid special teams threat as well, a really nice specialist in the return game. So that gives you a boost in that area too, just utilizing his versatility. But then you pair Nick Anderson in that wide receiver room too. It's a 6'4", 215, 220 pounder who can really go up and get the ball at the second floor. A player who was sensational with Oklahoma in his true freshman campaign. Battled the injury bug last year, of course, but he's looking fully healthy now. This is a guy that they're excited to get back out on the field. So you pair those two newcomers. You bring in Destin Hill as well, who's a guy that you can utilize as a project to try to see what he can be in the future. Those are three fresh faces in a wide receiver room that brings back Aaron Anderson, your leading receiver from last year. Of course, you bring back Kyle Parker, Chris Hilton, Xavion Thomas. I mean, you can go on and on, man. This wide receiver room is lethal. Garrett Nussmeier has an embarrassment of riches to utilize this season. It's going to be fun to watch them spread that ball around because you certainly got the talent there. About Garrett Nussmeier making the proper reads, upping that decision making, which is obviously his kryptonite from last year. Got to make sure that he's on par with his decision making. He's got the receivers to do it, and it makes it really exciting to see how that offense pans out.
Yeah, you just mentioned a lot of the names there. It seems like every great LSU offense, you see someone kind of ascend into that kind of superstar category. We saw it in 2019. You had multiple guys. You had Justin Jefferson, Ja'Marr Chase, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, but even like Malik Nabers, Brian Thomas, a couple years back. Like, who on this LSU team do you see as having the potential to be, by the end of the season, a guy we talk about for some of these end-of-year awards, you know, maybe can push themselves into a high draft pick category? Like, whether it's a wide receiver, running back, who are you kind of looking at to take that leap this year?
Yeah, I'm looking at Aaron Anderson to once again take that next step. Obviously, last year, he really burst on the scene and looked the part. He's your leading receiver, obviously, so it's not that bold of a take per se. But he's a player that this LSU staff trusts tremendously. He has rapport with Garrett Nussmeier. I really expect Aaron Anderson to play a pivotal role in what this offense does. But Barry and Brown, man, I have been just taken aback by what he can do with the football in his hands. And I think you're going to see a lot of that this week at Clemson. You want to get the ball out in space quick, utilize screen plays so that Barry and Brown can just turn it upfield. So I think Barry and Brown's a guy that can really ascend in 2025 with Garrett Nussmeier throwing him the ball. He's had some really good seasons while he was at Kentucky prior to making his way to Baton Rouge. But, man, he didn't have a quarterback of Garrett Nussmeier's caliber throwing him the football. So now you utilize Garrett Nussmeier to his advantage. I really think Barry and Brown can be a guy that takes the top off the defense, a true vertical threat. I wouldn't be surprised to see him also ascend and take that next step and start to see his name cruise up draft boards as well.
So tomorrow, Texas and Ohio State are playing, but for just even a casual fan, you could have, you know, from Clemson alone, three players taken in the top 10 of the draft. Klubnik, their defensive tackle, Peter Woods, T.J. Parker, the defensive end, and then you throw Nussmeier in there somewhere. I mean, his draft stock could go sky high. You could have four guys maybe in the top 10 of next year's draft. That's a pretty impressive way to spend a Saturday night.
Yeah, it is, and you're right on the money there. There's a reason why that game between LSU and Clemson is going to have the most NFL scouts and the most NFL personnel in attendance. There's going to be a ton at Ohio State and Texas, don't get me wrong. But when it comes down to numbers, the most NFL personnel is going to be at that Clemson-LSU game. So I think they're right on the same page with you. I think they agree with you. I think those organizations are ready to see what these guys are made of. Obviously, we know what Nussmeier can do, right? Cade Klubnik as well. But then you have guys that are looking to take that next step once again. And, of course, T.J. Parker. Can't not talk about Clemson's front without talking about Purdue transfer Will Health as well. So they've got a ton of guys that are prepared to kind of take that next step this year. NFL personnel is ready to watch it happen. There's a reason why there's going to be so many in attendance this weekend.
Yep, look forward to it. Been a lot of pressure on LSU's O-line. They only give up 15 sacks. Clemson's got a new DC, Tom Allen. See how aggressive he is. It's a great atmosphere. If you like LSU football, you would at least appreciate Clemson because it's a great atmosphere. Should be a good game. It's Zach Nagy at ZNagy20. We appreciate your time.
I appreciate it, man. Thank you, guys. You have a good weekend.
You as well.
Thanks, Zach.
Tomorrow night, 6:30, LSU and Clemson. I've been to the school. Never been to a game there. Have you ever been to a game there?
I have not. Bryant Denny. Is it still Bryant Denny?
Alabama.
Oh, that's Columbia. Jordan Hare? No, I can't remember.
Jordan Hare's Auburn.
I can't remember the name, but to save my life. But I have
just
been out there.
Just keep throwing out names. I can give you
Columbia.
Give you
it's one of those two-name fields. I've been there, but I have not been
I will watch the talking text line. It'll pop up here in seconds.
Yeah, you're right.
Take a break. Back after this. Sports Talk by Koss, Jeff Nowak, Charlie Long here on WWLAMFM.com. Always free on the Odyssey app. And so I'm looking forward to this. This is, you know, it's Katrina pushed forward, right? It's 2006. The Superdome is reopening. It's Atlanta coming to town. Saints are already 2-0. Not everybody remembers that those first two games of the 06 season beat Cleveland, beat Green Bay, both on the road. And so our kind of look back is the pregame kind of chat between the great Jim Henderson and the great Hoki Gaijon before the greatest football game that gives everybody chills. So here's Jim and Hoki before that game.
And good evening once again, everybody, from the Louisiana Superdome. This is Jim Henderson. On October 16th, a year ago, the Saints lost a thrilling game to the Falcons 34-31 on the game's last play. But it was more than a game the Saints lost that day in San Antonio. It appeared at the time that the city of New Orleans would lose its franchise. San Antonio Mayor Phil Hardberger, who had been a guest of Tom Benson's at a thrilling game in front of a sold-out Alamo Dome crowd, announced afterward that he would begin negotiations with Benson after the season, and he had been given a great deal of encouragement that a deal could be struck. Among the many emotions I felt that day was sorrow. Sorrow for a Saint fan base that I was convinced was still there. It was a fan base that was displaced by the storm, disappointed by the team's failures, and disaffected from a quarterback it could no longer root for, a coach it no longer believed in, and an owner it could no longer trust. The shame of losing the team because the fans were being blamed for non-support under those conditions would have been so unfair. I believe that if some of those impediments could be changed, most of the fans would come back. Never in my wildest dreams did I imagine that all of those impediments would be changed and all of the fans would be back in numbers greater than ever before. Tom Benson did the right thing in coming back. He did the smart thing in changing coaches and quarterbacks, and he did a lucky thing in being able to draft Reggie Bush. Now he's been rewarded by the rekindling of a love affair with this team that has been fanned by design, by fate, and by good fortune into an inferno of passion. Katrina could not blow it out. Katrina could not drown it. It's back, leading the way for a city, a state, and a region that will be back too. Joined now by Hoke Gaijon. And Hoke, maybe we could get it out of the way at the very beginning. Just kind of have a group cry up here in the broadcast booth, because that's the kind of emotion we felt from the moment we stepped in this place.
Well, there's no doubt, Jim, there's no way you can tell me that you don't have a lump in your throat right now. Anybody that is a New Orleans Saints fan, you know, you got the bands coming out there. You got the fans in the stands. You got look how many people are down on the field right now. I mean, this is... I'm going to tell you, it's a spectacular atmosphere, what we're going through right now. And I tell you what, I just got goosebumps all over me. And you know how hard that is to do.
And how hard it is to look at as well.
Well, but that's your problem.
Yeah, yes, it is. The stage has been set for U2 and Green Day, and when they're ready, we're going to go down and join them. But you see fans here that you haven't seen in a year, greeting each other, tears in their eyes.
Everybody hugging one another. I mean, you see people, I mean, they're coming up right here in front of us and they're waving and they're coming up here and they want to give us a hug and a kiss, and it's just tremendous. Listen to that. Does it get any better?
I can't believe that it can.
But they were wrong. It did get better in the first quarter. Steve Gleason blocked the punt. They couldn't have seen that one coming. I was in the crowd that night. I was a 10 o'clock anchor at WWL-TV, and the game was on ESPN, and they're like, can I have off? And they're like, go ahead. Your mom won't be watching us at 10 o'clock. They'll be watching, right? So we purchased season tickets that spring. So that is the first game I've ever been to as a fan in the Superdome, ever. That was my first game. That was my intro to Saints football. I was like, well, this is pretty fun. This is pretty cool.
Remember a few years back, I talked to Morton Anderson about that game, and that's the funniest, one of the funnier subplots of that is like Morton Anderson's at that game with the Falcons.
Right.
Right?
Right.
And I remember he was just like I walked into that building, and he's like, I've never been more confident that my team was not going to win a game. Like, the Saints were never going to lose that game. Like, there's nothing could have happened where the Saints were going to lose that
and
game.
They didn't. It wasn't, first off, the most exciting game. Wasn't a really great game. It was 23-3.
Yeah.
But after the pump block, I was like, I had to go back and look up the score. I was like, what was the score? Right, I had kind of forgotten. Right, the rest of the game was a blur. But
there's a certain point where there's so much energy in a building that you just have no hope of matching it.
Yeah,
and that's
Jim Elmore was the coach for Atlanta. He felt the same way.
Yeah,
right. He'd been in that building most of his entire life as a kid growing up. But let me tell you, man, and we haven't talked a lot about Katrina because I think it's been out there enough. But that moment, that night, that blocked punt was a euphorium. Like, to me, it was a release. It was guttural. It was personal. It wasn't even cheering. I mean, it was cheering, but it was just a release. And people were crying and hugging, just like Hokie said. And that was before the blocked punt, right?
They replayed. Remember they replayed that game during COVID and like 70,000 homes watched it?
I mean, there's a couple of things. I know we got to take a break. Is that, you know, the first drive, Saints win the toss, kickoff, and the Falcons fumble it on like third down. It almost doesn't go out of bounds, almost gets recovered by the Saints. They almost don't punt. And you think about, well, what would have changed, right? Nothing probably, but life would have been different, right? If they win 23-3, it's a good game.
We might not have a monument outside the dome
right,
from that game.
For sure, but it's just, you know, things happen for a reason. And I will never forget it. And I will say this as we go to break. I do believe this is it. Katrina, you're done. We've had your 20 years.
Yeah.
You're no longer you're no longer a benchmark for this city. We did the anniversary. We will always go back and remember the heroes, remember those who gave and those who saved lives. But you're not a benchmark for where we are
50.
Anymore.
I think
no.
50 is the next.
We're done.
You got to do 50.
We're done.
We can make it till then. You won't have to worry about that, Austin.
That's
come on.
True. That is true. Take a break. We'll be back here on Sports Talk. Mike Haas, Jeff Nowak, and Charlie Long, who was 8. How old were you, Charlie?
7 or 8.
7 or 8 years old. All right. Back after this on Sports Talk. Welcome back. Mike Haas, Jeff Nowak, wrapping up our 5 o'clock hour. News coming up in a second. And I got a little sidetracked there into my world on September 25th. And I wanted to talk about the great Jim Henderson and his writing and Hokie. Those two were just a blast. I sat beside Jim Henderson for, I don't know, 15 years. And there's a reason he writes the way he does. He taught English prior to being a sportscaster, and it showed every day. He is a great person to work with, and doing well up in Mississippi catching fish, hopefully having a little martini as we speak. Hokie, we're always thinking about you, my friend. The news is next. We'll be back after this here on WWLAMFM.com. Welcome back to Sports Talk. Mike Haas filling in for Steve Geller along with Jeff Nowak and Charlie Long in the booth until 7 o'clock tonight. Talk a little more Clemson and LSU at 6:20 with Don Munson, the voice of Clemson football. We'll talk to him and we'll kind of talk a little bit about the Saints just because it's, you know, it's coming up, man. It's next Sunday, Kyler Murray, Arizona, you know, really a couple of Oklahoma quarterbacks. You know, Kyler was first and then he played at Oklahoma and then Spencer followed him and their numbers were crazy.
Correct.
But running quarterback, we know that the Saints struggled with that kind of – just even a guy just elongating the play. But, I mean, a running quarterback like Kyler will make you pay.
Yeah, no question. And I did ask Brandon Staley about, you know, his philosophy. How do you game plan for that? And how much of that is a game plan? So let's go to the
– so a little bit, and obviously Kyler's the same way. Like, how much time do you spend trying to factor in quarterbacks that are just going to extend forever? You know, like, is mm-hmm. that something that you scheme for, or do you just have to kind of handle it within the defense?
Yeah, you got to scheme for it, for sure. Added element of the mobility is a big part of this league, and the best quarterbacks now, you can name one, they all have it. So all those big high leverage downs, third downs, red area, 2 minute, you're going to have to, you know, factor that into how you play. So no matter how you're going to rush the quarterback, 4, 5, 6, whatever, that's going to be a big component of the game plan. And so, Bo, that's a great exposure for our guys. You know, getting ready for, our first game, but all the other games, too, that we're going to have to play where the quarterback's a special player with his legs. And, you know, we had good exposure in games 2 and games 1 of the preseason as well with Trevor and then, you know, Trey Lance. You know, he's a very mobile quarterback, too. So that's the thing that you have to do during training camp now is you have to learn, you know, until it's live, you don't really know. And Spencer and Tyler and Jake have given us great looks too. But that's such a big part of finishing plays in the NFL. So, we're going to have to spend a lot of time on it with Kyler for sure.
Yeah, so that was our WWL Sound Bank brought to you by the Sound Banking at First American Bank. I got it. And, you know, a couple things. One, you know, you hear Brandon Staley talk and explain things, and it's like, yeah, that's a former head coach. Like, you can just, like, there's certain guys you can just hear them, how they break down the game and how they talk about the game, and you can understand it immediately. And it's like, just for contrast, like Clint Kubiak last year, not a head coach, right? Just, you know, and there's nothing wrong with Clint Kubiak.
Nice guy.
Great guy. Like, I really like Clint Kubiak, but not a guy you would go to for sound bites. Let's put it that way. But this kind of calls back to a conversation I was having with Steve Geller after the Chargers game. And he was a little concerned because Trey Lance was running all over him. And it was like, wow, I thought this defense was supposed to be better at handling the quarterback runs. And, you know, what I appreciate about what Brandon Staley said, it's like, it's not just, hey, the defense solves this problem. You're game planning. You're scheming to handle certain quarterbacks. And not just, hey, this guy likes to run, but how does he like to run? How does he like to extend plays versus does he like to get upfield? And like, that's part of your weekly plan. And that's why I told him, I was like, hey, I'm not going to overreact to Trey Lance running around, because I think to a certain extent, you're not game planning for really anything the Chargers are going to do. And you're definitely not game planning for, oh, their backup quarterback likes to run, so let's call certain things. Let's have a plan. It's like, no, you're running your stuff, and whatever they do, they're going to do, and you're just going to handle it. I think once you get into the regular season and once you start game planning for a guy like Kyler Murray, your defense is going to handle that a certain way. And that's one of the reasons I feel like this team struggled a bit repeatedly, I should say, to handle mobile quarterbacks over the last several years, because I think DA was a little stubborn in how he was willing to adjust his defense to account for certain things. He kind of was like, this is what we do, and this is how we do it. Same reason he ran press man like 90% of the time, right? And so one of the reasons I like Brandon Staley's defense, and one of the reasons I think it's going to be effective, is it is versatile, and it is able to change and adjust and defend a lot of different types of offenses. So I'm curious. And hey, all this is to say, maybe Kyler goes off for 150 yards. This is all a moot point. But I have a feeling that this is going to be a much more enjoyable defense to watch as it tries to chase around these jitterbug quarterbacks.
And it is the test out of the box, right? He came in as the top pick in 2019, Kyler Murray. He's rushed for 31 touchdowns. So his longest run each year. His longest run in 2019 was 35, then 48, then 57, then 42, then 33, and then 50. So that's 6 years, an average of 57. How many of those do you think were touchdowns?
All of them.
One.
Oh, one? Oh,
yeah,
man.
just the 50. I thought the same thing. I figured if he's gone for 57, you ain't catching him. Right? Yeah. If he's gone for 48, you ain't catching him. But just the last one in 2024 that went 50 yards was the touchdown. But, I mean, don't get me wrong, the 57-yarder is still, you know, hurtful. But it's, you're right. I mean, I'm interested to see how this defense attacks it. And it's not just we focus sometimes lane, you know, discipline. And it's, you know, it's about, like you said, like Brendan said, it's about game planning and being in the right position,
right,
irrespective of lane integrity.
And what makes Kyler particularly difficult is he does both. Like, there's certain guys who are really good at extending. And then there's certain guys who are just fast and you get upfield. And, you know, it's like, I think Spencer and Tyler Shuck, for example, Spencer Rattler and Tyler Shuck, they're mobile in two very different ways.
Yes.
Whereas Kyler, I feel like, does it all. You know, like, yes, he can just take off and go for 50 yards, but he's also willing to just extend a play for 12, 10, 15 seconds behind the line of scrimmage until the DBs just can't cover anymore. And then finds, you know, that's why when they had Hopkins, it was like, oh, man, this is a problem, because he was always a guy you could just throw the ball up to. So he's going to be a pain. People are going to walk out of that game being like, I hate that guy.
Unless we win. Then we don't care.
They'll still hate him.
Then unless we win. All right, take a break. We'll talk to Don Munson on the other side. He's the voice of Clemson football, LSU, Death Valley, the other one, you know, on the East Coast against the Tigers, the other one on the East Coast, LSU and Clemson tomorrow night, 6:30, back after this on Sports Talk, WWLAMFM.com, but always free on the Odyssey app. Welcome back. Mike Haas, Jeff Nowak with you until 7 o'clock tonight, and we're talking LSU and Clemson tomorrow, Tigers and Tigers, Death Valley. Joining us now, Don Munson, voice of Clemson football. Don, you're on with Jeff Nowak and Mike Haas. First off, welcome to the show.
Glad to be with you all. Let me tell you, this is a real treat for me. I can't tell you how many times as a kid that I would lay in my bed outside of Asheville, North Carolina, a little town of Montreat where I grew up, and listen to your radio station at night, AM, as I was going to bed. This is a real thrill for me.
Well, it's a thrill for us as well. You're right. It is a powerhouse transmitter that they just it doesn't exist anymore, right? It's an aberration out there.
It's a blowtorch is what it is, baby.
Yeah, I love that. We may use that, but that's awesome. So, wow, what a kickoff for both teams. 9 versus 4, and we had a guest from LSU on earlier, and you possibly 4 guys, picked in the top 10 of the draft. I mean, it's the atmosphere, everything is just, what a great way to start.
Yeah, I mean, I think that that certainly here in the state of South Carolina and here in Clemson that folks have been counting this one down ever since it was really announced, to be perfectly honest with you. And I think that everybody's excited to come to Baton Rouge next year to kick off the season as well. So, it's strange that these two clubs maybe don't play more often than they do. Obviously, the only time that we have seen one another here recently has been in postseason play. You all got the better of us certainly the last time that we saw one another and won a national championship. But, this is what college football should be. You know, big programs playing big programs, and I love it, the fact that we open up late season. Clemson has been doing this though under Coach Sweeney. They haven't ducked too many games like this.
You know, Don, I do need you to know I have told everyone the correct way to pronounce Clemson. We went through this when they drafted Brian Brzee. Everyone was throwing a Z in there. It was like, no, it's a P. You gotta pronounce the P. I do find Clemson interesting. I lived up in Myrtle Beach for about 4 years, and Clemson was kind of the story, right? Like it was every year. It was either Alabama or Clemson. They kind of fell. It's hard to call them hard times because they were still on the national window, right? Like you would still see them opening up against Georgia in these games, but it did feel like they kind of lost some of that cachet, especially as we got into the transfer portal era. And I don't know if Dabo still has really embraced the NIL part of this whole thing, but does it kind of feel like they're on their way back? Last year kind of felt like the step back into that kind of national prominence, and they obviously would have liked to get a little further in the college football playoff, but where do you kind of see that kind of phase going for them?
Well, I mean, you go back and it's tough to maintain obviously what they did from really 2015 all the way through the 2020 season, to be perfectly honest with you, the way that they went about their business in that period of time, and playing in 4 national championship games, obviously, winning 2, and then people just get, they just take it for granted. Got back to the playoffs last year. I thought they went to Austin and played well. They had some defense. Maybe they get out of there. It was a one score game in the fourth quarter. Clemson had cut it to 7, and then unfortunately their defense gave up a big play. And big plays last year against the Clemson defense were way too often. One of the reasons that we've had a change of defensive coordinator coming into this one here tonight, or tomorrow night, I should say.
So it's so easy to fall into, Cade, Klubnik and Tony Williams and Bryant Wesco, and then Garrett Nussmeier, Nick Anderson, and Barry and Brown, right? I mean, you can fall into that. This is the game. This is going to be the decider. But I'm looking at, Peter Woods, TJ Parker, and an LSU offensive line. They did a pretty good job last year, Matt, in the trench battle. Right, not talked about it immensely, but how do you see this playing out, and how do you see this as a factor in this football game?
Oh, I think it's where it's going to be won. I don't think there's any doubt about it that whatever offensive line can control the defensive line, I think that's where this game is won. It's like the old commercial, with Greg Maddux and Tom Glavin. Everybody, chicks love the long ball. I get it. All right, I get it, but. It's the guys inside that really kind of dictate what's going to happen, and I really believe that. I really that the both offensive lines have an opportunity to come out and establish themselves. Both defensive lines or defensive front sevens, really, and it's going to be very interesting to see how both defenses go about attacking each other's offense in this one, because there are weapons galore certainly from both offenses.
Yeah, and speaking of the quarterbacks, where have you seen kind of Cade? Like, what do you want to see from Cade this year in terms of what's the next step for him? Obviously, he's going to get all the NFL draft hype, but it does seem like every year there's one or two guys that just kind of skyrocket throughout the course of this season. What would you need to see from Cade for that to happen for him?
Oh, I don't think there's anything that spectacular that needs to happen with him. I think obviously the problem here at at Clemson is that he gets, you know, is because of Deshaun Watson and Trevor Lawrence that were sitting there in front of him. Heck, even Kelly Bryant that was between Watson and Lawrence. You know, people forget 2017, Clemson was the number one seed going into the four-team playoff in that time and frame. Got beat by Alabama in the Sugar Bowl in the semifinal game. But I don't think that he has to do anything special. I think that he just needs to continue the progression that we've seen him make. I mean, the kid threw 33 touchdowns, only six picks last year, by the way, and he also had seven on the ground. So he accounted for 40 touchdowns last year. So he just needs to continue to do – maybe his passing completion needs to go up a tick. You know, 63.4, I think, is what he was at last year. And that's also, by the way, his career stat as well. On his career, he's completed 63.4%. So maybe you'd like to see that get to the 68 to 70% range. And if it does, then I think that only spells, you know, big, big things for him.
You mentioned that 2020 game. I was there. I was working for the Superdome. And to this day, and I maybe one other game, which would have been kind of Virginia Tech and maybe Miami back in the day. I'm talking a long time ago, Michael Vick. That game, to me, was the greatest display of athleticism on both sides of the ball I've ever seen. Both teams, Clemson and LSU, I've never seen a game that just produced so many unbelievable athletes.
Oh, man, they were everywhere. And I always go back, you know, Burrow throws a ball in the first quarter, and if Nolan Turner can hang on to the ball and return it for an interception and a touchdown, I really would have liked to see what would have happened, because I think that could have been a play early on in that game that really could have turned things in Clemson's favor. Now, it didn't happen. And so, you know, Burrow just kind of, you know, he got better as the game went along, and you could just see the confidence growing in what LSU was doing offensively. And, you know, once that group got going, woof, I mean, that was difficult to stop. And they Clemson had won 29 in a row coming into that contest. So they were looking for number 30. And unfortunately, the Superdome has kind of been a little bit of a house of horrors for Clemson here as of late.
You know, Don, you should have seen Haas and myself out in L.A. getting ready for the Chargers game, trying to figure out how to pronounce Uiagalelei. I'm sure you had a good time.
Uiagalelei.
Yeah, I'm sure you had a good time with that when he arrived there. But, you know, just, you know, simple or complicated pronunciation aside, like who are, if you can give us a handful of players that maybe LSU fans aren't aware of now that they might be walking out of that game being like, man, I hate that guy because he's just been such a big part of that game. Like who are some of the under-the-radar players that could have a big impact on the game tomorrow?
Well, I think you would probably start over on the defensive side of the football. At defensive tackle, obviously Peter Woods moves back inside. He's a known commodity. But the guys that are right beside him, for instance, Capehart, also Safilin Green. I think those are two names at the other defensive tackle position that probably you need to be aware of. And those are definitely guys. Quarterbacks hate it when they get pressure up the middle and in their face. And that group that's inside for Clemson can do exactly that. So I would say that defensively on the defensive front, those would be players that Ashton Hampton at one of the corner spots. You got Avian Terrell that's at one corner. A lot of people think he'll be a first-round pick. But you got this young, big corner over on the other side of the football. And this is a guy I think that is – he's just really coming into his own, has had a great summer and a great August camp. Really, really looking forward to see him. The question mark becomes what happens at safety. So Ronan Hanifin, there's another name for you. Number five, Ronan Hanifin, something tells me that LSU will try to test him and test him early. And how does he stand up to it? If he answers the call, then that's certainly one of the guys you could be saying that LSU fans will be walking away from and saying, where in the world did this kid come from? You know, we didn't even hear about him. So that would be you over on the defensive side of the football. I think when you look at the offensive side of the ball, Tyler Brown is a guy that was banged up most of last year, is back. He had a great freshman campaign. Sophomore year was just abysmal for him because he just could not shake the injury bug. So number six at wide receiver is the transfer portal kid that we've had come in, Tristan Smith, number three. He's a big wide out, 6'5", 210-ish. can go get it, can high point the ball and do things there. So as far as running, obviously Adam Randall is going to get a start, but you talk about name game now, David Ezeumume, so you got to get that one spit out, all right? So
David E.
Get that one. Yeah, Easy E, exactly.
Easy
right.
E, baby.
Names are
Easy E, baby. But Ezeumume could also be a guy, I think, that could have – he runs angry. One of our linebackers, Wade Woodaz, said that that's – you know, he just runs angry when they go up against him in practice. So it'll be interesting to see if he can have one of those angry runs against LSU tomorrow.
Don, my final question. So beyond LSU, I mean, you don't know about the rankings. SMU's ranked South Carolina. LSU, of course, will have the SEC. It's a weird question because there's pressure on both. But LSU's lost 5 straight season openers. Like, for Clemson, if they lost this game, like, is it as important to Clemson? Like, if they were to go 0-1 with their schedule, is it as costly for them as it would be for LSU?
I think so. Yeah, I think both of these teams have something on the line in this. Clemson loses this, and that would be 4 in a row they would have lost to an SEC opponent. And if you don't believe, believe me, here in the ACC, where the SEC is still thick, you're going to hear about that. And so I think, yeah. Plus, it gives you an opportunity to just kind of set the tone for what could be the rest of the year. It is one of those games. It's like an NCAA game when you have two out-of-conference opponents that are going up against one another that are highly ranked to start preseason. And that can be a determining factor on a seed when you get to a tournament time. I think that both these teams legitimately can make the playoffs. But it could be also one of those games that, if it comes down to it, could determine maybe who gets a home game or who is getting to get a bye. So, I think there's a lot on the line for both these clubs.
Well, we look forward to it. I look forward to it tomorrow night. We look forward to you guys coming to Baton Rouge. And so they're both just unbelievable atmospheres. I understand the night before game at 7:30, you got stuff to do. So I'm enormously appreciative to take some time and talk LSU Clemson with us.
Anytime. Appreciate you. Let me spread a little gospel to the Clemson Tigers.
Nah, we appreciate it. Don Munson, thanks, voice Don of Clemson football at W. Donald Munson. We'll take a break. LSU and Clemson tomorrow at 6:30 right here on WWL. We'll take a break. Jeff Nowak, Mike Cost, Charlie Long in the booth back after this on Sports Talk, WWLAMFM.com, and always free on the Odyssey app. Welcome back to Sports Talk for about another 15 minutes on this Friday, August 29th and Labor Day weekend. Hope everybody is going to have a great weekend and is safe. Be safe on the roadways. Just have a great weekend. If you're not working Monday, we are working Monday because Saints have practice on Monday. They are off this weekend. Yeah, don't they? Jeff's looking at me
Saints?
Like, Saints?
Yeah.
Yeah, practice on Monday, off on Tuesday.
Just looking at you.
Well, I know, but as you...
like, I look concerned?
Even that wife, like, look, I said something wrong. it's just Arizona. Like, they're dipping in. They better be dipping into Arizona already, which I know they are. Big game start the season.
Yeah, no, and you know, one of the guys we haven't talked about yet is Tyler Shuck, and we really should talk about Tyler Shuck. So we're going to go into our WWL Sound Bank, brought to you by the Sound Banking at First American Bank, and I got to chat briefly with Tyler over at the facility the other day, so let's hear it.
I know it just happened, but is that going to be kind of a difficult mental switch just to go from competing every day to now I'm the backup? How do you handle that?
In my head, I'm still competing every day. I think everything is evaluation, especially in this league. You never know what can happen. I think at the end of the day, my job is to support Spencer, and that's me competing and do everything I can to practice well as I can, give good, great looks, to learn, to grow, to continue to offer support. So that's all part of it.
Yeah, and I think, one thing that's impressed me about Tyler is just his approach to the game and how he's kind of developed in this process. And, whether he wants to admit it or not, that's a tough kind of emotional switch to flip, right? Because you have been competing with somebody else to try to beat them for the starting job. And now it's his job and you are the backup. That said, I think he's correct. Like, you can't just stop competing, right? Because Spencer starting week one does not mean you will never get a chance to start. It just means that you don't know when that's going to be. That could be week one. If Spencer, you know, gets hit from behind and gets hurt, God forbid, but like could be week three if things go terribly and you make a change. Like what Tyler has to do now is not sit there and sulk and be like, oh, I didn't win the starting job. I guess I just, here, I'm going to go be angry in the corner. Yeah. No, he has to go and continue to work and continue to get better because his time is going to come. It's not a question of if, it's a question of when. And for it to be never would mean that Spencer is playing so well that the conversation doesn't matter anyway. But what Tyler has to make sure is that whenever that time does come that he gets in the game, he's ready. And because it's not about, you know, it's a bummer to not start week one, but that doesn't mean that your career is over. It just means that you have to be ready for when it inevitably starts.
All right. I'm going to talk about Tyler Shuck in 10 seconds. But was that a cartoon character? What was that?
I think it was kind of like Popeye. I think there was
It felt kind of.
It felt like a Popeye and like, you know, the dogs with the long ears.
Yeah,
like,
that's what I thought. Yeah.
Okay. Kind of like a mix there, yeah.
So I think the interesting thing about Tyler to me, Droopy, yeah. this is the show off the rails, is that I heard a soundbite, from him earlier prior to the decision, and it was very confident. He felt like he had done enough to earn the starting job, which is exactly what you want your quarterback to say. I don't want him to say, that's it. It's going to be Spencer.
Right.
He felt like, and I believe in my heart, he did feel like he had done enough to earn the starting job, which is, so I think in response to your question, I do think he's going to be exactly that. He is going to be competing every day because he knows it's not a win, right? But most likely it's a win, right? And so you hope not. I mean, at this point, you don't care. Win some games. I don't care if you're the quarterback. Win some games. We'll fight it out later. But I feel like he's going to compete.
Yeah, no, and if you're the right type of person to be the starting quarterback for the Saints long term, you shouldn't view this as a failure. You should view this as motivation.
Yes.
Right? Like, that's the mentality you have to have. And I think it is the mentality that he has. And we'll see how it goes. And then worst case, you know, it's not the worst thing in the world to have a backup quarterback with however many games of starting experience.
Right.
Right? And that's why, like, if things go a certain way, the Saints could be in a great quarterback situation with their starting quarterback and backup quarterback on rookie deals. And it's just a question of whether one of those guys is a starting quarterback.
And the rarity, other than Josh Allen, of a quarterback starting all 17 games, Derek Carr did it, and he got hurt in three of those games. But the rarity of a quarterback starting all 17, unless you're Josh Allen, doesn't exist. So you're going to need two.
Right.
And hopefully you only need two. So anyway, when we come back, a couple of things. Charlie and I are going to have a bet that we're going to do. And
I'll start working on my bookie.
I'm going to give a little reason. Reason of hope. Like why Saints, it feels like, you know, not the fans, but it just feels like the negativity around this team that's 0-0 is too much. I'm going to tell you why there is hope when we come back here on WWL. Welcome back for the final few minutes of our sports talk show. Mike Haas, Jeff Nowak, and Charlie Long. Charlie, you and I, we live under the same blanket of don't sleep on the Sun Belt.
Oh, yeah.
You are UL Louisiana. I am James Madison University. And the two schools will face off on October 11th in beautiful Harrisonburg in the Shenandoah Valley of the Commonwealth of Virginia. So you get to pick the bet, but there's going to be a bet.
Okay.
You, not a fake $100.
Are we doing a preseason bet here, Mike, or you want to kind of push it back until we get closer to the game? We still got like a month and a half to go.
But then we know.
Well, listen, we know
if you don't have faith in your team, I understand.
No. Don't take it for that.
If you don't have faith,
And Walker Howard, I believe, Mike Haas.
Okay. So whatever the bet will be, we'll do lunch or whatever it is.
That sounds like a good idea.
Straight up in Harrisonburg. I ain't give any points. Straight up money line. All right.
Lunch. That's it, Mike.
All right. Sounds good.
I will say this as well, right, real quick before we wrap up the show. As far as the Sun Belt preseason odds go, because we talked about Tulane and the preseason odds in the AAC earlier, James Madison is the leader in the Sun Belt preseason odds. UL is number two. So I think that that little preview in Harrisonburg and, you know, kind of early October might be a preview of the Sunbelt Championship game, Mike, if I had to imagine.
Ooh, I love it. I love it. The Sunbelt office is down the hall for me. And I go, I complain to him all the time. I'm like, I want to see James Madison play. And the closest they are is like North Carolina.
Yeah.
The Sun Belt, it needs to be smaller. Make it smaller or play. Can we play USM?
Well,
can
with the play expansion, somebody? It's all the way up into the Carolinas and even in like Virginia.
Yeah.
I mean, it's been awesome.
All right. So I said, I teased with why Saints fans should have hope. Because if you look at the prognosticators and the records
it's
and
depressing.
The media, oh my gosh, it's not, hey, we're below the radar, we're not on the radar, right? So why should we be hopeful? The NFC South.
You know, I agree.
Did you know I was going to do
this? Yeah, well, Drew talked about this yesterday, and it's like, I disagree with a lot of his take, I agree with that. Like, the NFC South is not that good.
Right, so... In 2020, I'm going to give you the last 3 years. Of course, the Saints won it for 4 years. Tampa's won it for the last four. And you go, oh, Tampa's won four straight. Big deal.
Yeah, eight, nine, and 10 wins.
Right. So 2024, last year, no team in the NFC South ever had a two-game lead in the division except the Atlanta Falcons, and they didn't win the division and did not make the playoffs. Let's begin with Atlanta and Carolina, these two teams that are, oh, they're going to be better this year. Oh, they're improved. Atlanta's haven't made the playoffs since 2017.
Haven't won nine games since 2017.
Exactly. They haven't made the playoffs. So 2024, no team had a two-game lead except for Atlanta. Week 13, December. Week 13, there is no team in the NFC South that's above 500. All right, 2024. Gone. 2023. We go to week 14, December 10th in 2023. There is no team in the NFC South that is 500 or above. They're all below 500. 2022, week 16, the season's almost over and no team is even 500. They're all below 500. You're in it. So you're not in it in the NFC South.
You're always in it.
You're always in it. Thanks for listening, everybody. Have a very safe Labor Day. My thanks to Charlie Long in the booth, Jeff Nowak, of course, our guest, Matty Hudak, Tulane tomorrow, 11 o'clock, Zach Nagy, Don Munson, and we say goodbye.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.